This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 17th, 2021, episode 344. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games and other video game things. My name is Nick Craig. You can check out my website, nickcraig.com, if you want to check out my radio show, or nickcraig.net if you'd like to follow me on various social media platforms. And of course, our website, the only website you'll ever need on the internet, is infectionpodcast.com. Joining me as he does, rocking the black non-graphic tee, looking, may I say, very fine, Brian with an eye on it. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Yeah, this is where you say, looking fine, feeling the vine. You know, I guess we're not FM radio. All right, we'll move on.
Feeling the vine. What the hell does that mean?
No. Feeling divine, you know?
Oh, divine. I think you said feeling the vine. I was like, what?
No. I don't know what it can mean. All kinds of things on the internet. Yeah, that's what those code words. I don't know what that means.
Feeling the vine. That's a different program. That's for OnlyFans.com, Brian. That's not Twitch.tv.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we're on the podcast. This is the wrong. That's for our special broadcast that we did. That's right. Okay. But the private one. All right. Well, hey, if you want to find me, it's at Brian Aldridge. Yeah, Brian, at Brian Aldridge on Gab and Parler. Or, of course, you can go check out my blog, biteoftech.com. And as Nick said, the only website you really need to visit is infectionpodcast.com. Because if on the right-hand side, you click join our server on Discord, that's a great place you can go and submit news topics. We have lots of people playing Ark on there, people just chatting, memes, news, all kinds of things in there. And if you just click that, there's free mobile app, web-based app, desktop app, and it's all free. We also have our Steam group, which I've been testing. I sent it, 45 minutes ago, and the thing hasn't popped up on my screen. So we may just end up kind of ditching the whole Steam group if it doesn't come back to life with the time change. Then we have all the video forms of the podcast, and you can do that through Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, and DLive. We do stream to those live, and also some of them have recordings after the fact that you can go and watch. But if you want to listen, the lower right-hand side has a lot of different links for mobile apps, desktop apps, services, all kinds of different ways that you can listen to the podcast. And if you are listening, I really encourage you to go to the particular episode that you're going to listen to and follow along, because there's a audio player, video player in there, and then links for all the topics that we discussed during that particular episode. So if you want to listen, perhaps save some bandwidth, you can follow along and click on each article and read along, or click a video and watch it at the same time that we're watching it on the show. If you want to support us, at the top, we got our support menu button. You go to infectionpodcast.com/support, or you can go, there's Prime Gaming subs, we have Amazon Humble Bundle, we have Subscribestar, lots of different ways that you can support. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, here we are back another week. What's been going on in your world, Brian? You've been doing any video gaming, anything of the technology sort?
I mean, I haven't been playing any crazy video games lately. I don't know. We're out of town the last couple weekends, at a place where there's no cell phone service. We have a little bit of internet. It's just been, I haven't had time this last couple weeks. My kids have been playing a lot of Fortnite. Now that when they get grounded, like sometimes they'll lose electronics. And so they'll go for like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks without electronics sometimes. And, so they all have that again. So they're all playing crazy Fortnite. I don't know. It's just been one of those. My wife's starting to play Call of Duty again, so watch out. She'll be getting some. You'll be getting some Snapchats with the scores here again soon.
Excellent. I played a little bit more of X Defiant over the past week. Still kind of playing that a little bit here and there. I don't know if the beta's over yet. I haven't played it in a couple days. It was late last week when I played it. Still enjoying that. Still think that's got some potential. So hopefully that will go into open beta. Don't know when. Sometime, presumably relatively soon, because it seems pretty polished from what I've played. And then a full launch sometime. I think is it the holiday this year? I think is when that is expected out full. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think so.
Where it is. So yeah, doing that, playing, of course, some Call of Duty here and there. Season 5 just started, so everybody's back to level 1, grinding away on that, playing on some of the new maps, and getting all that stuff rocking and rolling. So yeah, that's cool. Pretty much been me on the gaming front as well.
Well, yeah, and that's with Call of Duty, you know, they have their whole season pass system. And so I think that's for her. She gets some of those gun upgrades and some of the things that they include in those. So I think she enjoys. I don't usually like going for season passes in Call of Duty, yeah, but I think for her, she's new. She's gotten enough cool stuff that she doesn't really have in her account because she's just started playing. I think for her, it's worth it to pick up some things.
To show you how little I do with customization in Call of Duty, the gun I use, it's the AR, whatever it is like the main assault rifle that I run in pretty much every game mode. So I picked it originally when I hit level 5 back a year ago when I originally created the class and put my attachments and stuff on it and just left it. And someone was like, "Hey man, what are your skins looking like?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." So I went to the gun and I already unlocked gold. Having played it so much, had never gone through any of the things, and I was like, "Oh, look at this, a gold." So now I've got one gun with gold, having not knowingly completed any of the tasks. It's like, you know, something like 500 headshots and prone shots.
Yeah, you just play enough that you play for a year.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I thought that was pretty funny. That's why I'm not the season pass type that these companies need, because I just don't care about that stuff. Yeah. And there's no reason for me to used to buy the season pass in Call of Duty because it got you access to maps. They've moved away from that model, and the season pass is now cosmetic based, which I appreciate because I like not having to spend, you know, $60 for the game and then $40 for map DLCs throughout its lifetime. Works out great for me. Yeah. Obviously it works out great for them. They're making a bunch of money on season pass and loot, but I don't even know how the loot. I've never gone into the store. I don't know if I've, somebody was telling me I have tokens to spend. I have no idea. I literally load into the game, quick play and play, and then close the game. That's all I do. I don't do anything else in there.
I think the tokens they're referring to are those XP tokens, because it says you have like 7 or 12 tokens. So they have these tokens that give you XP boosts, and they store up, like you earn them through playing. Hmm. So you probably have a whole stack of XP boost tokens.
Couldn't tell you.
And you just have to apply them. They're like 15 minute tokens, half an hour, 1 hour tokens.
I'll have to check those out. I probably have some. I have no idea.
Yeah, it'll give you some XP boosts because your levels will reset. You probably have a stack of them. You can just apply them every time they run out.
So yeah, there you go. That's what's been going on in my world.
Oh, and I have been playing hockey. I think I did talk about how I puked so much a couple weeks ago.
I think that was off the show, but
oh, it's off the show. So I had a game where we came back. We had a Monday and Tuesday game, like a playoff game, and so we came back, and we were thinking we had a lot more time, but just, you know, stuff slowed us down on the way back, and we end up getting home about an hour before I needed to be at the rink to play a game that night. And we had been in the mountains in the sun, and we were exhausted. So I get back, I get to the half point way through the game, and I've just started puking into the and I didn't want to freak everybody out thinking I had COVID or something. So I'm puking like crazy, just water, because that's all. I didn't eat anything for half the day before my game, and all I have is water in my stomach. So I'm just puking water. I'm feeling like I cannot. I'm like, I gotta go. And they're like, "Dude, you look white as a sheet, like go home." So I went home. I came back the next day and played, did just fine. Like, they were all thinking, you know, I was like, "Dude, I swear I'm fine. I can play," you know, just because of the circumstances. But yeah, I was puking. So I had a game last night, went really well. Have a game tonight. And then, I think we're placing for like third or fourth.
Excellent.
With it. Well, so now, you know,
I'm glad to see the hockey season is still working out for you, even under your treacherous circumstances.
Yes, I made it through. Anyways. All right, where were we leading that to? That was like a story that came out of nowhere.
All I know is that we are 10 minutes into the program, and we've got a boatload of news. So you've put a lot of different things in here, so I'm going to let you be our maitre d' through the evening here tonight, or our MC of events, I should say.
Let's start on a little bit of a light note here, and let's start with, I think, a new game that's coming out called Back for Blood. And this one is one that's very much like Left 4 Dead. You can see it's Back 4 Blood, Left 4 Dead. It's like a new version of Left 4 Dead. And they've been doing all these tests, play tests, And during the playtest that they had a week ago, they had 100,000 concurrent players during that playtest. It was just a weekend beta that they're doing this. And it's very much like Left 4 Dead. I haven't played it yet, but you know, this is something
that $60 title. Jesus.
Yeah. But it's pretty much as if like Valve made, it's created by the original developer of Left 4 Dead. So this is, I mean, it's equivalent of being Left 4 Dead, what are we on, 3, that Valve never will release.
It does look very similar to that.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna it's be a very similar though, game.
As much as I love Left 4 Dead and love that style of game, I'm not thinking that it's worth $60. I don't think now. Yeah.
They want $60 for nostalgia, pretty much what it is.
I really mean this. I loved back in the day, loved playing the Left 4 Dead games.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I paid for them, but because they were always on sale, because they were Valve games, they were always on the deep discounts on Steam.
Mine came in like a bundle. I probably bought it multiple times.
Yeah, I have multiple copies for sure. I don't think I'd pay $60 for it. You're talking about a game that is a 4-player co-op game, and I just don't think that 4-player co-ops can demand a $60 price tag.
Do you think they're pricing it for that? Because one thing is, it's going to be on the Xbox Game Pass here in October. So here in mid-October, it's going to be launching on Steam, Epic Game Store, and Xbox Game Pass. So you can purchase it on Steam, purchase it on Epic, or you can just play it. So imagine how many people are going to have it right out of the box just because it's on the Game Pass.
I mean, true, but I want this. I'd like to play this game on Steam.
I bet you. It is odd that they're marking that up so much.
Well, and it's the most interesting part about it is you can pre-purchase it for $60 because the game isn't even out until October 12th. Normally, you get some sort of discount running to pre-purchase the game. And then when it releases, you know, all the early access games we talked about, most of those games were $20 to $30, and then they full release or come further down the development line, and then they're $45, $55, or $60. Jonesy's saying most people are saying it's more of a $30 game. Yeah, I don't care how good the game is. 4-player co-op games, which I'm just trying to think Left 4 Dead. I would not pay $60 for Left 4 Dead. I just wouldn't.
I bet you it'll price correct down to $30 eventually. Probably what'll happen is they'll keep it on the Game Pass for a certain period of time. They'll take it off the Game Pass, offer it at half price at that point, you know, and then probably adjust the price down to normal. But they're going to have to look at these sales numbers on Epic and on Steam. But Steam will probably have the highest count, you know, aside from the Game Pass people, which, you know, you just have to count it on installs and people actually playing. But, you know, they're going to have a huge number of people that are playing on Steam.
There's not even an offline mode, so you can't even play
with
bots.
No, you have to play it online. No, yeah, they don't have.
So, yeah, this is not a $60 title. I'm sorry, it's not.
It's probably more of this guy had probably this is. I don't know how many games this studio makes, but you know, I'm assuming that most of their studio is running just to make this game. So they're probably pricing it to what they need versus what it's worth.
Well, Turtle Rock is part of Warner Brothers Games.
I mean, do they make a lot of games? Are they a pretty big studio?
Mortal Kombat, they published.
Hitman, they published.
The Lego games they've published. Some of the Batman games they've published. They've got 173 games on Steam.
Oh, well, then they don't really have a reason. So Hitman they should know better. They don't have any studio to keep up.
Mad Max was published by... Now, this is the publisher, but... It seems like the publisher.
But what about the
is
studio? What I'm wondering about is the studio itself.
If you click on the studio on Steam, it just brings you to Warner Brothers. So that makes me think. It's a Warner Brothers.
It's a sub studio, probably.
Sub studio, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're just not in touch, or maybe I have a feeling that they will price correct. You know, this they're is probably. this is something that once they realize people are only playing on the free options.
So, well, let me ask you this. Continue. Was this a free beta period, or did these folks have to buy it to get access to the beta?
I think that they were able to play for free. I think it was like a opt-in. I'll have to look and see if I can find it on here. But yeah, I think it was a free weekend that people were able to test.
It was, Jonesy says it was free. Yeah. I think you will find that this game does not sell anywhere near as well as they hoped.
Yeah, and I think at that point we'll see if they turn around and and drop this down, because I wouldn't buy. I mean, if it weren't in the Game Pass, I wouldn't buy it at this price for sure.
This is a $30 title.
Yeah.
I can't draw a parallel to other games that I have purchased like this for $60. There are, in our era right now where we are gaming wise, there are very few games that can demand a $60 price tag. This is not one of them. Call of Duties, Battlefields, your Last of
Red
Us,
Dead Redemption,
your Red Deads, your GTAs, that stuff can demand. This is I haven't played it, for the record. There's no way this game is on the level of those games that demand $60. And realistically, how many games have we seen recently that are not large releases that are $60, for that matter of fact? I mean, how many games that we talk about that are not, you know, Final Fantasy or something brand new coming out, some massive franchise, are even charging $60? That go back 10 years, most games were $60, even the shitty ones, because when you were releasing a game on disc, and you were stamping, you were going gold with a game, putting it in a case, getting it on shelves in GameStops and other stores, those were $60 titles. Now, on the Xbox Live, there were arcade titles. That's what they used to be called. You could get those for $15, $20, $25. But most games were $60. We have seen a complete reversal in that, where most games now that are not gone gold in terms of large physical media release, which most games are not anymore. I mean, the amount, if you walk into a game store, you're like, holy crap, there's no new games for these consoles. Most of the games are older because games just don't release physical copies anymore, except for your big ones. I don't think they can demand $60. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think they'll get it. You will not find people buying this game for $60. We'll know in October.
Except for people that have a weird fascination with Left 4 Dead, you know. And
I mean, I have a huge fascination with Left 4 Dead, but I'm not.
But I'm saying there's a niche group of people that will, but it's not enough to support the game.
Yeah,
it's not going to keep the doors open. I don't know how much they're making from having it on Game Pass, but obviously they're not pricing it like that's going to keep them afloat.
Yeah. Well, I hope for the best. I really enjoyed Left 4 Dead. Hopefully they can get the price down to something more reasonable for what the game likely is, based on what its description is, which is a 4-player co-op zombie game.
Yep. Well,
interesting.
Now let's talk a little bit about another studio that's making some remasters coming up. So Take-Two, Grand Theft Auto, you know, one of them actually can release games and charge $60 and people will pay it all day, multiple times, as people have found over the years.
Sorry, rest in peace, my wallet.
And so one thing that I've been wondering, what's been taking them so long, is like, why aren't they making some remasters of games that we've played over the years and years and years?
PS2 games.
Were incredibly advanced for the time.
Oh,
lots of money, voice acting, all kinds of things went into a lot of these, but they're just too out of date to play. And so they're working on three remasters, or re-releases as they call them, in this coming year. And there's lots of hints of possibly, well, first of all, we know that the Grand Theft Auto standalone is coming next year. So this is the Grand Theft Auto online standalone that's going to be its own product, so that it's not really tied to a particular, you know, Grand Theft Auto. Because that's the problem they're running into, is everything's based off of GTA 5 right now.
Yeah.
And it's not based, once GTA 5 is out of date, they don't want all those Grand Theft Auto people dropping off or being stuck in an old version. So they're going to spin that off. I think personally they're going to, all these remasters are going to remaster all of the locations, and then that's going to go on this online. So I think that they're going to be bringing in lots of locations that aren't just GTA 5 and make a master world that's Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I think
Vice
that
City,
part
San
of this
Andreas, make, stuff like that.
Exactly. And making it to where it's just one giant map. And then you have the ability through, you know, the online to go to all these places, but they are all, then they've created these already. You know, when they're making the remasters of every single one of these locations, there's some of those locations that I think kind of double back and go back to previous places. So you, if you're going to remaster something, you want to remaster it all at once. So that remastered version has the same version as the one that goes online. So I think that, right, you know, I think that they're timing this to kind of fit with the launch of the online, have the remasters for the previous versions, and then have this online version, you know, that's using all of those maps.
Yeah.
So they're very tight-lipped usually about all these things. So they're I don't think until it's the last minute that you're actually going to hear from them what these are. But there's also been talk of Red Dead Redemption, the original Red Dead Redemption being remastered to be matching the technology of number two. So I think they currently have six remasters and ports for at Take Two that they're doing right now. And then I think maybe they added three more on top of that, or the three more makes it six, but they've got a decent number coming. And I think a lot of them are around that Grand Theft Auto and the Red Dead Redemption series. So,
well, they've got a huge amount of intellectual property. I mean, some of these, you're talking about the early GTAs were, you know, I think I talked about it before. There's the guy that did the history of GTA. Yeah. It's like a 4-hour video. And to see, you know, he does some comparisons to other games that came out when these early GTAs came out, and it was light years ahead of what other major studio, because at the time, Rockstar was not a major studio.
No.
Ahead of things that were coming out of Activision and some of these other large players at the time. So the amount of IP that they've got is priceless. I mean, you're talking about decades, literally, of intellectual property with the Grand Theft Auto series. That this is a money printing machine for Take-Two and Rockstar.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing is the Grand Theft Auto series. I was trying to see when the original Grand, because I used to play on in the late 90s when this first came out, like 1998. I remember playing this game, Grand Theft Auto, the original one,
on the PS1. Or no, excuse me.
No,
the first
one was
on the
PC. Doing it on the computer.
Yeah, the first
they had
first
it on PS1
on the PC.
And they had it on the PS1 and the PC. I didn't have a PS1 at that time, and so. Then the next one came out in PS1 and Dreamcast, and then Windows. But the original one, I used to play that on DOS, or, you know, actually it's probably Windows, whatever, at that point, 95 or something. And, if they remastered that, I don't think there was a lot of story to that one, if I remember correctly.
No,
I think
that
it
was
mostly
kind of the weird top-down one.
An overhead view, you're shooting the people, maybe there was quests. I don't even remember. There's quests that
very
maybe popped
few.
Up or, but things, I think you kind of got directed around a little bit, but how they would remaster that, I don't know. I think maybe a visual upgrade and something that works, people would be happy with. Don't charge a bunch of money, include it with another one of the games, you know, don't release number one, but the next ones have story to them and a lot of content.
Well, GTA 3 pretty much starts with Liberty City, which we know about from later games, but
I think they're going to do three. I think they're going to do three, Vice City, San Andreas. I think those are the three, and then I think eventually they'll go into, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4, but I think those are the ones that would be huge, you know, and they have them on mobile. You can play them on mobile. You know, and that's how some people are playing them now on their phones, but I think that people would jump all over that, and because there's so much story there that just could be told much more in a current matter, because you play that, those old ones, it's just tough to sit through some of that stuff and the graphics and then some of the just the garbage of the controls of that time. It's just very different. People are used to a lot more now, so
absolutely,
we'll see. Hopefully it's something that comes out here soon. Do you have a preference on where we go next?
No, sir, lead me.
Okay, how about, okay, let's talk a little bit about a game that's coming out called Stalker 2.
Okay,
they made an announcement this week with a screenshot that they are putting the new version, the Stalker 2 that's coming out, their next release, on Unreal Engine 5. So they're starting to get games that are locking down, saying, hey, we're going to release our next one on Unreal Engine 5. PH, I think, posted something in our Discord mentioning that they are pushing out the Unreal Engine 5 Fortnite release. I don't know if this is a joke, but it's a Season 9. Season 8 is coming out here pretty soon. So I'd be very surprised if they're going to be running all of Fortnite on Unreal Engine 5. But hey, they're within the year. They will be, because the Season 9 will be before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So this is pretty incredible. So this shows them working on the in-game. This is going to be a shooter game. So it's going to be somewhat fast paced. It'll be interesting to see how these worlds that have so many polygons and just triangles and, you know, everything that are how are they going to handle? Is it going to be able to quickly respond to enough to be a first person shooter, fast paced, Call of Duty style game?
Yeah.
And I don't know yet. It'll be interesting to see if the engine actually can keep up. I'm sure eventually it will, but I don't know out of the box. This is something that we'll be able to see. But they are teasing that. They're showing some incredibly high resolution images. I mean, they're putting those super high resolution assets into the map. So it sounds like they plan on using them. So we will see.
Yes, sir.
So that is Stalker 2. There's also, since we're talking about game engines, let's talk about Unity here for a second. And yeah, there was a purchase. There was a person, you don't hear a lot of news coming from them, on a daily basis, but they purchased a company called Parsec. Most people probably haven't heard of Parsec, but it's a remote game development tool. And this is something that can also do other things. A lot of what it has to do was with the encryption of the video streams. You know, it's a lot of technology around that, a peer-to-peer game streaming type protocol. They got it for $320 million. So it's, you know, you can have pretty much interactive video. It's pretty much a video game that's streamed over the internet from a server, kind of like Google's product.
Yeah, what it really is a much more advanced. It's a remote desktop platform that is built for video editing,
optimized
CAD things that are things where you would need a lot of resources on a computer side. It allows, you could use, everybody's heard of TeamViewer. You're not editing, you're not game developing on TeamViewer. It's way too slow. It's not optimized for it. It would be a terrible experience. Same thing with CAD Autodesk, things of that nature that are very high performance. They have really tooled Parsec. I've never used it, but I've watched plenty of people that have talked about how they use it. They have done very just integral parts of the way that they encode and decode video to make it very responsive to working. Yeah, everybody's done a remote desktop. You click something and you wait and wait and wait for it to take. Not with Parsec. If you've got a good internet connection, it's fascinating.
Well, and this is
amazing. It is.
This is aiming at the developers, not at the people playing the game. So correct. This is for developers doing remote development. And you got to think, they're looking at the day and age we're in. Times are changing quite a bit. A lot of these small developers, due to COVID, there's a lot of restrictions. They're maybe not working in person anymore. Game development is very difficult to do remotely.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of large files, a lot of issues. Something like this is that answer, is having something that's is optimized enough to be able to give you something that's accurate, to pinpoint accuracy, like if you're moving something with your mouse, but still be able to work with very high detailed, high graphic things. So I've not used this, but this is where we're going. And I'm really interested to see what's Epic going to do in answer to this. You know, do they feel that this is something, because they're always trying to compete. This is one of their biggest competitors that's out there. And I'm kind of just interested in see what they end up doing in response. Are they looking at a remote work option, or is that something they don't feel is important? Because this is now, I don't know that they've locked anything down. I'm sure all the other licenses and everything are going to continue. But I don't know if this is something they're going to kind of bring into and make it more just a Unity thing.
Yeah, when it would be when it could
be used for a lot more.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they're not. I would hope that they don't get rid of Parsec as a platform because it is very cool.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised that, or if Parsec, they build some sort of Parsec thing around Unity itself, and you can, instead of having to install Parsec on your computer, it's kind of integrated into Unity.
It's integrated into Unity, which could take away some features from people that aren't using Unity, or you know, they that way they're more rolling the important features into their product,
exactly,
which they now own, which they have every right to do. You know, it kind of makes the other one less valuable. So I don't know. We'll see. But this is an interesting acquisition, and I think it really matches with the way the game development for a lot of these small indie development studios that are mostly using these type of engines.
It absolutely does, and I'd recommend people go on YouTube and look up some videos about Parsec. It's a very there's some YouTubers that have done a really good overview of it. It's a very cool technology. Yeah. It's not free. You have to pay for it.
No.
So it's not the easiest thing to get.
So let's go to the other end of this. And Xbox Cloud Streaming is now available as a Windows app. People to be able to do the cloud gaming have been having to use a web browser.
Yep.
And now they've got it to where there's an app and it lets you do all the cloud gaming. And so if you're interested in that, just go to the Windows Store, get the Microsoft Cloud Gaming beta, and then you'll be able to try those out. I've tried it on the mobile. And I have a tough time playing games like that on a mobile.
You do need to be part of
If I had a controller.
You do need to be a part of the Microsoft Insider program, which you can just go and sign up for.
It's not a
pay for thing. This looks good. It needed to be an app, and it now is an app. I presume this is going to be built in with a new, once this hits stable, presumably this will be built into a Windows 10 feature update, and obviously will be built into Windows 11 by default. Microsoft continuing their double, triple, maybe quadruple down on taking over this space, and I don't see how anybody can even come close to even competing with them at this point. I don't know if this was pure luck or somebody over at Microsoft having a 10-year foresight into what this industry was going to be, because they are...
They hit it on the head.
They really did. They absolutely did. I'm glad you said that. They absolutely hit it right on the head.
Well, let's go to Steam now, because Steam is trying to kind of compete. You know, Game Pass is really quickly turning into one of Steam's bigger competitors.
It absolutely is. Yeah. Why buy
Epic,
a game on
Epic
Steam
is doing everything they can trying
for free.
Yeah, and then you've got, you know, you got Microsoft just coming in and saying, "Well, hey, you know, we'll here's how we think it should be done." Well, Steam is they released their Steam Deck, or at least they're starting to pre-order Steam Decks. They've now created the actual official video for this. So I figure it might be good to see the video, because this will allow us to see their version of what we're supposed to be seeing. And so some really close-up shots of it, and helps a lot with, I think, size comparisons and things of like with that as well. So let's go and do that. This is called Introducing Steam Deck.
This is Steam Deck.
Oh, really?
The most powerful gaming handheld in the world. Steam Deck is a full-featured gaming PC that lets you bring the games you love wherever you go. Full-size thumbsticks, analog triggers, and user-assignable buttons allow for portable gaming without compromise. Steam Deck's multi-touch display, dual trackpads, and gyroscope bring the full power of PC gaming to your hands. Your Steam games are already on your deck. Just sign in and play. Go beyond the included game storage with a micro SD.
Now hold on, because I want to stop this right there. They continually say this. Just sign into the device and your games are there. That's why I know this device will.
That's why you think it's streaming.
It's not why I think it's streaming. I think that's why there's going to be a bigger emphasis on streaming than everybody is saying, because they keep saying this over and over and over again. Just sign in and your games are there. That's not how Steam games work. You don't just sign in and your games are there.
Exactly. Well, and that's something where either they're going to have to start offering a service where they're doing cloud gaming, streaming to devices, which they may very well be in that, you know, kind of like what Microsoft's doing.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have a computer with a really good internet connection that has the ability to stream to you GPU. Remotely wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one that with a good video card to play all this smoothly enough to then encode it, send it over the internet, have you respond, and then rate for a response. Yeah.
By the way,
there's so much that can go wrong with that.
It will play games, but I want to point out that point that they keep saying things like just sign in and your whole library is there. Yes and no. Let's finish.
Steam games are already on your deck. Just sign in and play. Go beyond the included game storage with a micro SD card. You can even stream games from another.
So wait, PC. You see there? That was how many were installed.
Deck runs
right?
A new version
of
Steam
games,
focused on handheld on gaming with features you'd expect, like cloud saves, Steam chat, and more. Steam Deck, powerful, portable PC gaming. Reserve yours now.
So, I mean, there is no question about it, because I saw, I don't know if it was this week or last week, Linus Tech Tips did a, Linus was at Valve headquarters and was playing it, and it did, in fact, play games, and it will. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the hardware, because it is strong hardware.
It's a low-end computer is what it is.
I'm just the fact that they just keep saying sign in and all of your games are there is just, we know that's not how Steam works. I'm not saying they're misleading. I just want to point that out, that that's what they keep saying. And I find that to be very interesting.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of curious where it's going to go from here, especially when 6 months from now, a year from now, when people are getting these in their hands and all of a sudden they're like, well, you said it would play all my games. And they start realizing their home DSL connection isn't up to par. They thought that this was in place of having a nice computer, because people think they can buy this. And it's like, well, I can just keep playing my games on there. And still have to keep upgrading your computer.
In some cases it will. And I think for a majority of games on Steam, it probably will play them on decent settings
and I'm sure you'll start getting developers optimizing it for this as well. You'll get developers that will release versions that are optimized.
Correct. That's going to be once the hardware is out and in
people's
hands.
If it takes
off. I think at the price point, it will. I mean, you look at the success of the Nintendo Switch at its price point.
Well, okay. That's with them selling them. But whether or not it gets to where other hardware manufacturers start making their own. I mean, I'm talking about if it takes off like a Switch, to where it's a common household name like a Switch is.
Yes.
A Steam Deck. Where you go to your grandma and say, I want a Steam Deck for Christmas. She goes to the store, picks one up, and gets the right thing.
Yeah, I don't think it won't. It definitely won't be like that right away, because it's a different audience, right? The Nintendo Switch has got the audience of people all over the gambit. You've got literal children that are using the Nintendo Switch, playing things like Animal Crossing and things like that. And then you've got there are plenty of hardcore gamers that also have Switches and play those. This is obviously tailored towards those individuals. This is definitely tailoring towards an older crowd. I don't think this is something that you slap in front of a 6 or 7 year old, just based on what's available. I mean, really, and the
Nintendo's, I think it's more of like a college student. I think it's more of like a college student that wants to be able to play some games, that maybe doesn't have, doesn't want to put up his computer or doesn't have an environment that's good for it. You know, I think it has plenty of uses. I just don't know if it's going to take off, to the point where the hardware is regularly available, as far as a lot of manufacturers are putting out current versions of the hardware, and just games are starting to get optimized for it to where it becomes a real device. Right now it's kind of a concept that will run a lot of things, but it's not really a device itself because things aren't being made for it. And I think if it did, I think could be huge, and to where then Steam then kind of becomes what I think it wants to become, is the equivalent of Microsoft and PlayStation, being the curators of those whole platforms. And I think that Steam kind of wants to be that.
Agreed.
And this would be something that would put, this does bring a lot of competition. Another reason to actually stick with Steam versus the things that Microsoft's been doing. So, it's there.
Agreed. I'm very much looking forward to this. Regular people getting their hands on this thing.
And did we see the end of the video? Is there more to it?
No, that was the end of it.
Okay, that's all right. Cool. So, you know, this is they did that. They've been doing hands-on. We have some links that we'll have in the show notes, so you can check out of various hands-ons that like The Verge and things like that. One thing that I wanted to note, as far as kind of emphasizing more of what I was saying, is they're starting to AMD and Valve are working on a CPU driver, you know, to boost the Steam Deck's performance, getting it to where the hardware manufacturers and all these groups are working together to optimize it to the level of where it's like a Switch, because the Switch is highly optimized. You know, the game engine,
very much so.
It's on, you know, for what it is, it's highly optimized. And I think here, getting it to where that piece of hardware isn't one of those one-off junk pieces of hardware that, you know, you end up putting some other operating system on it, do something else with it later.
Yeah.
You know, to where it stays this, they're going to have to keep working on it and getting it to where you're getting as much as possible, just like you do on the consoles, as much as you possibly can out of this little device. So they're doing that. So they're working on a CPU driver for that. Also, they're switching the operating system that the Deck is using as well. It was using Debian, and then they found out that they were running into issues with, because they want to be able to update it, the core of the OS very rapidly, and they can do that with Arch. So Arch is going to be the new, because it makes more sense for what they're doing. They can do faster iterations of updates and things like that, especially in the early times when they may have a lot of games that need a lot of little updates to the core of this to have it fix bugs.
Yeah, the previous versions of Steam OS were on Debian. They'll now be based on Arch, which is a pretty widespread and pretty high acclaimed distribution, at least from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so... And the biggest thing is the release cycle that they use for that matches more what they want to do for releasing the Steam OS.
Yeah.
So that's the reason that they did it. Debian is very much a, you know, very slowly make changes because so many servers and things run on it, which I totally respect. You know, they want this to be more bleeding edge. Arch can give them that. And so they're doing it. But we'll see, you know, is this going to be around 2 years from now? And then one final thing with Steam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one final thing with Steam. There was a bug that someone found where it was an unlimited Steam wallet funds. And so there was a bounty out for it, though. Yeah, so they put a bounty out, and this person found it to where they could turn a $1 deposit into a $100 deposit. And all they had to do was change the account's email address to one including amount 100, then intercepting a message to a payment company API. So it sounds like
changing it in the past.
Steam then would change, would then send an email out to process the payment. You intercept that, make a change to where it says amount 100, and then it changes the in the code being sent to this processor that the amount that you deposited was $100
when it was really so, only one.
Yes. Nice. So this is the thing is, he made a $7,500 bounty for this.
Nice. Good for him. It's a nice
which is still good. You got to think, people say, oh, well, because that wasn't real money. That's you redeeming. You can buy things on Steam. You can buy virtual games that they can revoke at any point in time. It's not like stealing $30 million. No, he got $7,500. But I'm saying, you know, people you could turn this into unlimited funds on Steam. Really, you can't. It's a virtual environment. Unless you're buying games and somehow gifting them for money. You know, it's very difficult to get money out of this, because all you can do is just buy every game on Steam.
Yeah, well. The problem you run into is Steam is losing their ass because you are, you know, you're buying $100 worth of games. They're paying out 30%. You know, they're paying out their percentages
to the people underneath them. Yeah.
And they're only really making
Surprised that they did it for $7,500, being that this was such a huge possible glitch.
Yeah, that is kind of, now that I think about that, it's kind of a low ball.
That's my main thing, is $7,500 for, you know, putting a decent amount of time. This is more reimbursing him for his time, not for the fact that he did something that saved them a lot of money. Because $7,500 is a couple months, you know, it's a couple months for a developer, a couple months worth of work.
Yeah.
That's what they paid him for. And that's one thing. With these bug bounties, where they're bigger things that could cost the company a lot of money, I would more be like, hey, let's make it like $75,000.
Well, I mean, you like the airline companies charge, they'll do like $100,000, $150,000, $250,000, or at least they, back when they first started doing Wi-Fi on planes and stuff, they had huge bounties out there for people that were able to get crazy stuff on, you know, get to assets and things on the internal network. They're big money. Yeah, you're kind of right. Steam kind of, well, fuck that guy. That's a super low ball number.
I know. Steam's loaded. That was just thinking of the number. If I put in all the work and time to do that, and then they handed me $75, I'd be like, okay, well, that's nice. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it'll be nice. It's nice to have.
You're a multi-billion-dollar company.
Yeah, you guys are hoarding money back there like crazy. Now, one thing PH did point out, kind of what I was saying, you know, you could work various games by purchasing CSGO skins, you know, getting CSGO skins and then selling them for PayPal on the third party markets. Like you could do that. And this is how somebody who knew about this bug could totally take advantage of it and sit there and generate money for themselves. That's why $7,500 just seems low to me, because that could be very easily made in one day selling CSGO skins if you toss enough money at it.
Yeah, true.
So, all right. But yeah, that's Steam. Let's talk about another company. We had mentioned probably 2 months ago now about Norton doing more of the gaming and Bitcoin and changing how they were working. Yes. Well, they have bought out. Well, they're merging, but they're merging with Avast, which is a very similar company. Yes. Wow. So these are two companies that I think see the writing on the wall. Remember when we talked now a year or more ago about the changes that have been making to the core operating system to make gaming more secure, cut down on cheating, things like that. I think that they're going to really be locking down an antivirus, because as they lock down the operating system, making it harder for people to cheat in games, they're also making it much more difficult for antivirus companies to hook into the operating system where they need to be able to scan the files, every file. And they're pretty much, Microsoft is slowly making them obsolete, because they won't have the access to be able to protect your computer at the level that Microsoft's built-in antivirus does. Exactly. And I think that these guys are having to change. So they have merged with Norton and Avast. They say they're going to be keeping their two locations, because one is in a totally different country. Avast, I think, is based out of not Croatia, but somewhere over there. And it's going to be interesting to see if they end up merging the products, because Microsoft or Norton has their LifeLock. They've got services, and that's kind of where they're moving to. Avast has very similar things. You know, are they going to just change the skins, or are they going to make them one product? I don't know yet. So we will see.
So I want to talk about Dead by Daylight now. An interesting. I've always been very complimentary of how Dead by Daylight has been able to secure so many well-known IPs and franchises for their game. And this headline to me was a little shocking, Brian. The headline states, Stranger Things will depart Dead by Daylight in November. The characters and outfits are available in the Last Chance sale. Users that have already purchased their skins will keep access to them. That includes the players. Yep. But the map is going away, and also the perks and achievements that were based on the show are changing to more generic. And they'll be available to everybody. So what it seems to me is that this was some sort of limited license for a set period of time. I don't know, a year maybe. I don't know when the last Stranger Things came out. But this is not good. This is a huge issue for Dead by Daylight, as they have literally built their whole game off of essentially licensing other IPs. And as of November 17th, not only, excuse me, as of August 18th, no, I'm sorry. as of November 17th is when they'll be gone completely. You will no longer even be able to play on the map.
Yeah.
That to me is very interesting.
I think something, I saw somewhere what this had to do with, and it had something to do with the companies. Something changed on the companies on the licensing side. And it just was something that just happened to work out a certain way to where they lost it is what I remember reading. I'll just try to find it and see if we can find it here. But I don't think this was a timed plan thing. I think it was kind of something happened and the licensing got revoked.
Well, and this brings a serious question to the forefront. If I had paid for these skins, now obviously when you purchase that, I'm sure there's
Now you get to keep all your skins except it says the only thing you're losing is the map.
Well, that's the only I understand, thing you lose. But nevertheless, you're
if you purchase it before a certain date.
But you're purchasing you're purchasing the DLC. Presumably, the DLC sells as two players, perks that they're now changing, and a map. That's kind of how they sell the DLC. It's kind of a combined unit. What about all the people that paid for this? And obviously, yes, they still get the players, but they're going to lose the map and they lose the perks. So, and PH says, I thought the map was free to everyone. It is. I'm not saying you're paying for the map itself, but it's sold as a package. You're buying the Stranger Things pack. It includes two, in this one case, it's two players, a killer, and a map. That's kind of the thing. And the perks. So while you're not necessarily losing access, you are losing access to the map. And the perks are now going to be generic perks that are available to everybody. That is a little troubling to me.
Yeah, and I wish I could find that story, because I don't think it was intended. Usually they don't drop these things off, or they'll save for a limited time and actually show it. This is very odd. But I think this is a one-off. And I'm sure it has something to do with probably do you think it might have something to do with Netflix and their new gaming department?
No, because if that's the case, then Dead by Daylight needs to get some better lawyers to have better contracts.
I have a feeling that it has something to do with that more than anything else.
And it might.
Because a couple of weeks ago, they're starting a gaming studio at Netflix, part that's in charge of the gaming area of it. I just have a feeling that they're bringing all that licensing and things and probably tightening down a little bit more.
Yeah, and it might very well have something to do with that, and you're right, it probably does, but I just think this raises some serious questions about kind of the long-term business model for Dead by Daylight. I'm not trying to be dramatic here, the whole game's not going away, but part of the game was the Hawkins Lab map, the players, and that kind of whole atmosphere. And now that it just seems to me that part of that's going away.
Yep.
So that's pretty concerning.
Well, and as long as this doesn't become a trend, because that's something they're constantly adding to this. Another thing, there's been teasing about them adding Pinhead to the game. We have discussed this. I remember us discussing this exact thing and someone in chat bringing up Pinhead. Yeah, there's a little teaser, for people that really are into the show or into Pinhead, they would know, what that is being teased. But then there's been other things like there was a posting on a developer site somewhere hinting at someone who was doing work.
You know why I think the reason this hasn't become more of an issue yet, Brian, is a lot of what they've licensed IP-wise are kind of dead franchises. Right? You're talking about old school horror movies from the, probably not the 70s, but the 80s and 90s. Those kind of, there's not a big active thing with it. Stranger Things on Netflix is still there's another season coming out. It's still a very popular, active thing. That's why it was so shocking when they first got it. Who the hell is going to come and try to steal back some of these, what's going on with Michael Myers right now? I mean, like, what, what's the hot Michael Myers thing right now? There's not. That's the thing. I mean, they release a Halloween movie once in a while, but that's it. Like, it's not.
I think this was maybe why this is a one off, though. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, I think this is more of a one off for that. And they do mention here in the article saying, hey, you may be because they Netflix might be reluctant to give any IP licensing when they may be wanting to release their own Stranger Things games.
Then my previous point still stands. Dead by Daylight needs some better attorneys to draft.
Needs better lawyers. Say, hey, yeah, you need to lock them in to where they can't just back out if they feel like it. Yeah. They did say that it's going to be chapter. It's going to be in chapter 21. So this chapter 21, when they release it, and PH did say that it's in the player, you know, the test build right now. Gotcha. So people can go and try that out. So that's Pinhead. And then also they've enabled crossplay for Dead by Daylight as well between Xbox and PS or PlayStation and Nintendo Switch PC. So pretty much everything, you should be able to do crossplay now. How that will work with the kind of P2P mode that this does will be interesting.
No, it's not P2P anymore. It's servers now.
Oh, well, don't they fall back? I mean, do they only do online now?
Pretty sure. Because that was a big change.
I wasn't sure if they made everybody do that now. So, okay, it shouldn't be an issue.
I don't think
that's probably why they did it. That's probably why they did it, because it would have been almost unplayable trying to go between all these different consoles.
I mean, you could make the argument it was almost unplayable prior, because the host was always the killer.
But imagine a PlayStation 4 on a crappy connection being the host. You know, it's just more room for error.
Dedicated servers was a much needed thing for Dead by Daylight, and it enables and allows crossplay, because you can't peer to peer with crossplay doesn't work. It's different protocol. It's completely different. That doesn't work.
Now, how much time we got here?
We got 5 minutes. Worst
5 minutes. Okay, let's talk really quickly about Dr. Disrespect. I haven't heard a ton about him in the recent news, but
over to YouTube.
He said he's starting up his own game dev studio. And so he actually got a message. Well, here, if you look, former H1Z1 Deb is offering his support, which brings us right into our wheelhouse. Clegg, the man who begins and ends games, has offered to step in and help Dr. Disrespect, which I have a feeling that there's no way, unless it was like more of a front, you know, comedic role, you know, of something. Of him having anything to do with that studio.
I thought he was selling cryptocurrency or something. That must not be working.
Well, he's the hype man for cryptocurrency. Interesting. But he says, hey, Dr. Disrespect, if you buy the H1Z1 IP, I'll help you make H1Z1 2. Flip phone is on. So that was from Clegg. I don't know. I mean, he has been in the industry. You know, he did do level design and things for Call of Duty. That doesn't mean that he's automatically going to be really good, but he does understand marketing. There's a chance that he could actually do well with this.
We'll
see. I don't know that it'll be H1Z1 2.
He's also got a lot of money, and hopefully he leverages that to hiring good people
wisely
to do the work and not worry about it himself. Because
not Clegg. Yeah.
Well, he's got the money to pay a high. He's got the money to get a good studio head. That's what they're looking for. Hopefully he can get that and allow them to actually do what they want. I do find it interesting. His whole thing is like, oh, we're making games for mega influencers. Not necessarily sure that there's a big market for that.
Well, yeah, they're looking for games that people like Dr. Disrespect can play. That's what they want to make.
Yeah.
They want something that clicks.
I'm not. I think that comes naturally. Right. I don't think it's hard to plan that. It's very hard to plan that. Like, I don't think
you can't put on the checklist of things that we're going to build into our game, you know, make it to where it just is a hit with influencers.
Well, let me give you a great example of it. What is that game with the chickens?
Realm Royale.
That game. Excuse me. Not Realm Royale. What's the one with the. Streamers with the ice, you're like kind of the showmaster, Scavengers. That game was built around having that sort of Twitch influence. That was kind of their thing. That was their whole thing. Yep. Was the whole idea is you're the Twitch streamer, you're doing this thing, you're kind of the GM. How's that worked out? Not very well.
And if they would have been, if they would have been one of the first out with that game, I'm sure it would have been great. The problem is they piled onto that BR bandwagon. It's a little too late. As you saw, it was a good game. I mean, it was fun. It was well built. They used assets from another game they had. So, you know, it was fairly, I never had major glitches and problems, but they just got in too late. Everybody was too used to all these other ones. And it was so much like Fortnite and so much like all these others. I don't think it stood out enough.
Correction. That was Darwin Project, not Scavengers, which is what,
I was thinking of Realm Royale. Are you talking about Darwin Project?
I'm talking about Darwin Project. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's another. Okay. That one was that. I understand what you're saying. That one was built on influencers.
That was literally
playing the game. That was the whole core of it.
That was the whole thing was influencers playing it. And that has not, while the game is still out, it has not done that. Oh, Fortnite's an even great example. What did that start off? Some weird sort of $50 building game or something?
Yeah. This is the game where you pretty much build a base and then you protect it against hordes of zombies attacking it and try to survive the night. And that turned into Fortnite.
Exactly. So I mean, he's a smart guy. He obviously has lots of connections, but I don't think building a game on the whole thing of mega influencers and Twitch is necessarily a winning platform. But I'm more than happy to be wrong.
Well, and this is where I'm interested to see, does he take this seriously? Which I feel like he will, but can they put out a product that doesn't look like a big pile?
He's going to be shoveling cash into it, so hopefully he will.
These are very expensive. One more thing, one more thing I wanted to mention. There's been documents released. The Pentagon has been using AI that looks days in advance and supposedly predicts the future. Now, this would have to be with things that are incredibly repetitive, things that they have history of recording. Because people look at things like this, it's using data to make a best guess estimate, right? Correct. People don't realize we haven't been highly in such detail recording everything in existence until recently. Yeah. So you're going to know what recently is most likely going to happen, but how are you going to track something that happens only every 20 years, 50 years, 100 years? There's very little data for this. So I think this in the long run is pretty cool. I just don't think that's going to last way out into the future. Right now, I think once they get enough data behind it and history behind it and all of these data dumps just going into places, sure, you can make a guess that tomorrow, most likely this one thing might happen. But if it's something that doesn't happen very often, I don't think this can predict that very well yet.
Well, if the Pentagon's got anything to do with it, I want nothing to do with it. So we'll go from there.
Well, okay. I mean, then this leads to thought crimes or, crimes that could have happened. What about when they start prosecuting for a crime they say you will do, which is the whole Minority Report? It's right back into the movies.
Bingo. George Orwell. So, read it.
Yep. We're there. All right. Well, that's all. I just want to make sure I mentioned that. If people are interested, we got a link to a more detailed accounting of it, but they're using it now. So,
yes, sir.
And supposedly predicts days into the future.
You can check that out in our show notes on our website, infectionpodcast.com.
All right. Well, is there anything else we need? Can I roll on out of here?
Let's do it.
All right. If you want to find me at Brian Aldridge on Gab and Parler, my blog, biteoftech.com. And of course, our website, infectionpodcast.com. Go to the right-hand side, join our server on Discord, whether you want to play Ark or you want to come out and submit to the news channel. We have all kinds of different channels, a lot of things going on in there. Steam group, we may take it off. We'll see if that ends up going anywhere. If you want to watch while we're recording, you can do that on Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, and DLive. We also have some recordings after the fact with those. If you want to check out some of our pre and post show, you can check it out on our podcast Extras channel. If you want to listen, just go to the lower right hand side, click the particular platform you want to use, and then of course you can go to the episode that you're listening to and follow along. And that's a great way to go and click links maybe to articles. If you're listening and you want to actually read the article, you can do that. We've got a lot of different things you can do. So if you want to support us, just go to the infectionpodcast.com/support. We got Prime Gaming, Amazon, Humble Bundle, all kinds of different ways that you can do that. And we appreciate it. Hopefully we'll be able to use it next year if things are less crazy.
We absolutely do appreciate it. Brian, appreciate you as always getting everything all squared away before the program begins. As always, greatly appreciated. And we will see you next Tuesday for another episode.
Sounds good. All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. My name is Nick Craig. You can check out my daily radio program at nickcraig.com. You can download my podcast, the Wilmington's Morning News Podcast, on any of the various podcast platforms. But the most important thing, if you missed any portion of this show, you can check out images, links, show notes, videos. You can read about the Pentagon developing AI, all that fun stuff. It's on our website, infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.